Log Talk Radio.
When you are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show, I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, I have been traveling all over the country. I just got back from New York, and I tell you, it's the same everywhere. What is wrong with this nation? Teachers are being abused. The people are being abused. You name it, they're being abused. I got back here and got a call about our lovable mayor, who is the biggest hypocrite you ever want to meet. He claims to be a man of God. He's a pastor at a church. And I tell you, if he was pastoring me, I would leave immediately. So we're here doing some horrible, horrible things to the people. We got a recall in for him. And it's a big deal. He's being well protected by Whirlpool Corporation. They're doing everything within their power, everything to protect this man. And he's attacking the guy who put the income tax on the ballot. Whirlpool is not pleased with this young man who just so happened to work for Whirlpool Corporation. I tell you this, I am plenty upset with the black people. We give other black folks who we know is doing wrong a free pass, and nobody says anything. Word come out, oh, he's black, he's going to be all right. No, he's not. If he's not, if he don't stand for all the people, you don't stand for nobody. The yes vote here in the city of Benton Harbor, they put a millage campaign on. It was a special election held on May 7th. The committee members were selected by Mayor James Hightower and the emergency manager, the dictator himself. The mayor, James Hightower, is working with the emergency manager, Tony Sinus, and Whirlpool to destroy the city of Benton Harbor and his residents. The members were of this committee was Minnie Sims, Coral Robinson, Mayor James Hightower, and the emergency manager, Tony Saunders, and Sharon Henderson. She's the worst of all. She can't hop. She just barely know her name. And here she is, elected official in the city of Benton Harbor. But I'm going to file a complaint tomorrow morning at 9 p.m., what I want to know was, what was the committee name? Was the committee registered in the state, county, anywhere? Who paid for the campaign headquarters on Water Street, which was $800 a month? Maybe been a week, but we'll find out. How much money was collected or donated by Whirlpool or anybody else? I want to know the names of the donators. Were any money left over? What bank was used and what account were the donations deposited? Did you have a treasurer? If you did, or if you didn't, who signed the checks? I would like to see the campaign financial statement. Who signed for what? Who gave what? Who received what? I want to know everything. I would like a complete and a thorough investigation by the sheriff's department, the prosecutor's office, and the state of Michigan to see if any money collected was used or misused by this committee. I tell you, we are in a dogfight here in the state of Michigan. Detroit has their very own dictator, Kevin Orr, a personal friend of the governor himself. We're fighting for our lives, but the bad part is coming to your city next, Chicago, California, all the cities around the country, they're coming. They just want to test it on us. But we will continue to fight until they get it right. I had a beautiful trip down in to New York, Rhode Island, Connecticut, Columbus, Ohio, you name it. I'm going to hit all 48 states, well, 50 states, but I'm going only going to 48. I won't go to Alaska and I won't go to Hawaii, but I will be hitting all the states across the country. And I'm going to do it within this year, so I'll be gone, but we'll be still having our program every Sunday. On that note, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
We have known water. If we were Baptists or some other denomination, we had been immersed. If we were Methodists and some other, we had been sprinkled, but we knew water. That couldn't stop us. And we just went on before the dogs, and we would look at them, and we'd go on before the water hoses, and we would look at it. And we just go on singing, over my head, I see freedom in there. And then we would be thrown into paddy wagons, and sometimes we would stack in there like sardines in a can. They would throw us in, and old school would say, take them off. They did, and we were just gone in the paddy wagon singing, we shall overcome. And every now and then we get in jail and we see the jailer looking through the window, being moved by our prayer and being moved by our words and our thoughts. There was a power there which Bull Connor couldn't adjust to. And so we ended up transforming Bull into a steel, and we won our struggle in Birmingham. I call upon you to be with us when we go out Monday. Now about injunction. We have an injunction and we are going into court tomorrow morning to fight this illegal, unconstitutional injunction. All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper.
Listen to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we just want Americans to be true to what they say on paper. We are doing it today. We are stepping out today. We are doing some incredible things today. I got my good friend David Garcia from L.A., from the teachers. When I was out there, we had a tremendous time. And I tell you, he's one of the guys who I will go back-to-back with to fight this cruel and unjust treatment that the teachers out there in L.A. is getting. I am going to tell you this is going to be quite a show, so you get yourself ready, buckle yourself in, and let's have it. David Garcia, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, David. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Reverend. You know what? I have a lot of respect for you because, you know, you have the foresight to see what's going on in this country, and you know what? You're trying to get the word out. You're trying to get the people to do something about it because at the end, you got to think of the corporatists, right, as like bullies, and bullies are only going to pick on you until you put your, you know, foot down and tell them enough is enough. And that's what your show serves, and that's what you're doing, sir. Every time you're going out there to other states in the nation trying to tell them, you know, this is a cancer. It is a cancer. It's a moral cancer. You know, the rich are trying to balance the budget of the deficit in the United States on the backs of the working class. And it's happening in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and from there it's supposed to spread.
Oh, you are absolutely right, David. You are absolutely correct. You know, I remember when we was out in L.A. and we went to see Mr. Fletcher. He had a meet on Saturday, and it so happened it was at their office, and you was one of the very few who stood up and said what need to be done. And I thought that that was tremendous. I took my hat off to you because you got so many people out there who won't say a word until it's too late. But you stood up. You stood up for those who couldn't stand up. And I tell you, I have nothing but respect and love for you, because anytime someone willing to put their neck out on the line for the people, you know, most likely they're going to try to chop it off. We had a young man here who's he's only 25 years old. He's one of the elected officials here, and he came up with this income tax idea. And they're attacking him like a pit bull on him. And, I mean, he works for Whirlpool, number one. They tried to change his hours so he couldn't come to the meeting. They did everything that they could. Now they're going after him criminally. Also, the same thing that's going on across the city. We just fighting. But, David, tell me what you want to talk about today. You got the floor, and you can talk about whatever your heart desires.
Thank you. You know, first of all, you know, I do have a lot of respect for you. And I believe it was you and your wife. I mean, you're both out there. You're doing this together. It's not like, you know what I mean? My thing is that they always say a fighter is only as good as his cut man. And, you know, I believe that hats off to you, because it was both you and your wife who have the courage to get out there and try to get this message out to the public. You know, what I'm trying to do out here in Los Angeles is I'm trying to raise awareness of what's going on with Los Angeles Unified School District. There's a lot of underhanded double crossing going on, and the reason is that, you know, the district is working in conjunction with corporatizers. And what I'm saying by corporatizers, those are people that want to charterize public schools. Now, public schools is a public institution. We have the concept of a public school in the United States since about 1647. These people want to take that away, and they want to privatize public schools. They want to make charter schools. They want to make charter schools, you know, there's like a charter school down the block on every street corner, charter schools with only 10 students, charter schools with 20 students, charter schools with 100 students. The thing is that what's so unnerving is that these people, these corporatizers, have not only they're trying to get their way into our public schools, they've also infiltrated into, I believe, the unions. And I believe they've infiltrated the unions in an effort to try to manipulate the elections so that they can have charter-friendly union leadership. And I think it's wrong, I think it's criminal, and I think something has to be done about it. But, you know, the struggle between us and the elitists in this country is truly a struggle like David and Goliath, you know, and you should know that too, Reverend Pinkney. It's like,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you want to say it's Whirlpool, you want to say it's Wells Fargo Bank or Bank of America or, you know, any other of these corporate monsters. You know, they're the entities that are just eating up our resources. And again, like I said earlier, they want to try to balance the budget, the deficit, on the backs of the American people. And we have to put a stop to it. We have to, at some point, mobilize and organize together in solidarity with one another. I mean, I feel bad for Benton Harbor, Michigan, just like I feel bad for parts of Los Angeles. We're in the same boat. It's happening everywhere. And I believe when I spoke with you last week on the phone, we had mentioned Camden, New Jersey. I mean, that's another city that has been decimated, right, because of privatization. And these examples are starting to pop up everywhere. I mean, in Pittsburgh and in parts of Pittsburgh, parts of Pennsylvania, you know, what's happening is we're no longer supporting the working class. We're just feeding into the corporatists and their agenda, and like I said, and it's going to ultimately be at the expense of our freedom, of our democracy.
Mm. And you know, one thing, David, that is truly, truly remarkable, because I'm in touch with some of the people that's out there that are teachers or were teachers, and what I have discovered It's not just L.A., it's New York. I just got back from New York, and I want to tell the people one of the things that New York did that I don't think no place around the country is doing, they protected the pension. And I was really amazed when I sat down and heard this story. It said, you know, if they wanted to take this pension, they're going to have to come a little bit. And it's controlled by the Jewish people. And they're going to make sure they get their money. So, I just don't know. I'm sitting here, and I was thinking about California, how the people across the country can help California, things that we can do to help California. And, you know, Dave, you know, maybe you and I can sit down and come up with a plan, a program that we can execute, and especially deal with that union. See, people are talking about the right to work issue and stuff like that, how they're destroying unions. Yeah, they're destroying it because of the leadership, most of it.
Exactly, because the leadership is absolutely – the leadership is in on it. See, what happens – and I suppose it's not just the union here in Los Angeles, United Teachers Los Angeles. I think it's everywhere. I think what it is, it's just this corruption. I mean, once an individual comes into power, you know, they're always going to make decisions that are in their own best interest, their personal interest, even if it's at the expense of the constituency or the people that, you know, you're supposed to represent. Unfortunately, I mean, I guess that goes across the board. It's not just UTLA. It's in government too. I just read something I was going to say. Robert Rice said that he just posted something that the people in JP Morgan they had a memo that they're supposed to hire the children, the sons and daughters of Chinese officials, because they want our banks to get more friendly with the Chinese people for future business. I mean, that's illegal. And if it's happening in J.P. Morgan, if it's happening in the highest ranks of corporations, I mean, they must have already infiltrated our government. You know, they already have infiltrated our collective bargaining and unions. And so the thing is that, you know, we have to stop this. Now, I'm not a person that's supporting anarchy. I'm not a person that's supporting any, you know, violent upheavals or anything like that. But the thing is that, you know, I contributed to the Occupy movement, and I was hoping that the Occupy movement would take off and it would be like a national movement that we would have, you know, consolidated all our factions and made government, forced government to recognize our demands. We're not doing that, and we're not doing that because the government is very, very swarthy, very slick, and what they want to do is divide and conquer. By making us factions, pitting us once against another, then you know what? Our voices will never be heard because, you know, there aren't enough numbers in our movements to get any of the media's attention. And so, like, let me give you an example of what's happening here with UTLA. You know, I mentioned that the leadership is kind of corrupt, and they're compromising their integrity. They're compromising. They're making deals so that they can promote themselves at the expense of the teaching profession. It's not just happening here. You were right to say it. Let me give you an example. Stockton, California, which is like up by Central California, Fresno area, and San Bernardino, California. Those are two cities in the United States, in California, mind you, that are filing for bankruptcy, just like Detroit, Michigan is. And now what they're doing is they're going to try to say that, you know, if you paid into a pension and you were an employee of these cities, that you're no longer entitled to it. So if a person would be working for, what, 25 years, you know, a city employee, they did their job, they were always on time, never late, never called off, those people are still going to have to work for the rest of their life because they're not going to have a retirement waiting for them. They're going to be working, you know, as a ticket taker at a movie theater or at a door greeter at Walmart. That's an injustice. So, see, the federal government is trying to weasel its way out of paying its debt, fulfilling its debts to the American people. And the thing is that what's going to happen is, like, for example, with United Teachers Los Angeles, every time you have one of these corrupt union leaders on the inside making deals with these corporatists, we're going to give away, and when we continue to give away, that's how you end up with no union at all, and that's how you're going to end up with no teachers at all. So see, the corporate agenda is to privatize. The corporate agenda is to make charters out of public schools. And once that happens, the reason why I'm adamantly against it is because there won't be any freedom left in this country. And let me tell you why. Once you get a corporation control, you know, funding schools, it's a matter of time before they decide to control what is being taught in schools. And once you start having that, you're going to have a lot of revisions in history and a lot of revisions, and all of a sudden, we're not going to be teaching facts to children anymore. We're going to be whitewashing the history of this country. We're going to be whitewashing all the facts. And the thing is that we're going to create consumers. We're not going to have people that are free, open thinkers. They're just going to be, you know, consumers that conform and don't say anything, don't question authority, just stay in line, you know, sit down, stay in line, keep your mouth shut, and consume. And I it's an injustice. And I think that, you know, I'm amazed that we don't have people, you know, rioting in the streets, you know, angry at this, because it's an offense. It's an affront to what a democracy should be based on.
David, you know, you are right on point, too. And what you're saying is so amazing when you talk about Detroit. And in the city of Detroit, what they have done to the educational system is almost criminal. Because, and also here in the city of Benton Harbor, we have more charter schools than we do public schools. We have more everything, and what they do, they come in and they dictate exactly what should be taught. Everything in the city of Benton Harbor is controlled by Whirlpool Corporation, and that's too much power to put in a corporation hands. To control the kids and tell them what they can teach. Remember, they took out Black History all out of it, which they don't teach no more. Only thing they teach is Martin Luther King, and then that's their Black History and their eyesight. And I tell you, what's happening is so amazing. You talked about the Chinese in Detroit. It's only seven people that's buying up the whole city. They got six billionaires, and you got the red Chinese buying up all the land in the city of Benton. They're buying blocks at a time.
Yeah.
And they already control the school system already in Detroit also. But they wanted to make sure Chicago is their pension. They reduced the pension for the people that was on pension. And now what they're trying to do, since it was legal in Detroit, they try to make it legal around the country. Detroit, California, all these people, all these different cities are going to get it, and it's just a matter of time, because when it was happening here in the city of Benton Harbor, nobody stood up and said, well, hey, we need to come out there and fight and show these people what we're made of. And taking the streets, we should be out in the streets. We should be out. What is it going to take to put the people in the street? Like, I'm not condoning violence or anything like that, but we can have a peaceful demonstration where people take the streets and change the way this country is being ran.
Absolutely. I totally agree. You know, and the thing that upsets me even more, like I said, is that, you know, you mentioned that they're trying to revision history. I'll tell you that they're already doing it. You know, they don't tell you about how Native Americans that were slaughtered by the Europeans that came to this country, Native Americans had no concept of slavery. And the slaves, a lot of slaves knew that, and so what they tried to do when they would get away is they would go to an Indian tribe. That's how you have, like, the Seminole Indians in Florida. You have African-American people of descent that are part Native American because they married into the tribes or what have you, right? And we don't teach that. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about how, you know, the Europeans tried to decimate the Native Americans by giving them blankets with smallpox, you know, from patients that had smallpox, chicken pox or monkey pox, and it just slaughtered tens of thousands of people, you know? And so they're already revising history as it is. And the thing is that the corporations are going to continue to do that, and they're going to continue to do that so that they can get people to be, like I said, consumers. And what I mean when I say consumers is that people are not going to be nonconformists. They're just going to take whatever's handed to them and accept it as fact. And the thing is that my understanding is when you used to buy a U.S. bond back in the day, that bond was guaranteed, right? Well, now what they're trying to say, you pay into, like, retirement for a city, you may not necessarily have that retirement when it's time for you to utilize that. I mean, this should be a red flag for everyone in this country. I'm talking, you know, everyone, from postal workers, nurses, teachers, police officers, firefighters, I mean, anybody that has a pension, you are no longer going to be guaranteed that pension will be there for you when you need it most. And that's wrong, because you know what? Right now we're $1 trillion in debt with China, and we're also trying to come up with a permanent wartime economy. So it's all tied in. And I'm not a person that says a conspiracy theorist or I'm into, you know, corporation is a big brother or any of this nonsense. I'm a realistic person. I keep things in perspective. But I'm telling you, the thing is that corporations want to take over, they want to exploit the working class, and they want to set up a permanent wartime economy. You know, that's why here in California, you have the seventh largest prison system in the world, because what we do with all our high school dropouts is either you join the military or you face incarceration. I mean, see, the thing is why do we do that? Well, because the elitists in this country, the way they see it is, look, if we're going to have a permanent wartime economy, we need a surplus of fresh bodies to be put in the front lines. Cannon fodder, I guess is what you call it. So that's why we're having this streamlined, one-size-fits-all Common Core curriculum that we're pushing across the country. And I'm here to say that I vehemently oppose that. And you know what? I also wanted to say that I am going to be running for a position within United Teachers Los Angeles. And one of the things I will tell my fellow teachers here in Los Angeles is do not follow Common Core. There's no way I would ever support Common Core. It's a criminal act. Let me ask you this. Reverend Pinckney, do you have any kind of medical conditions that keep you from, like, eating certain foods?
No.
No? Okay, well, sometimes people do. Sometimes they might say, hey, I have high blood pressure or I have diabetes, so I can't have, like, a high-fat diet or I can't have high sodium, right? If a person would have a pre-designated medical condition, is that person going to go to McDonald's and get special diet restricted to their you know, food to their diet? The answer
is no. Absolutely
no. They're going to get a one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter assembly line McSandwich or whatever you want to call it, right? Well, it's the same thing with public education. You cannot make a one-size-fits-all standardized cookie-cutter assembly line education. It doesn't work. No two students learn alike, and we're not talking about that. And like I said, the union has been absent on this matter, which is serious. I mean, it's a fact that people cannot learn the same way. And here, United Teachers of Los Angeles hasn't mentioned that, hasn't challenged the district, hasn't challenged the state of California. And the thing is that I'm fixing on trying my best to do something about it because I believe that's criminal. It's you have to be able to accommodate students, modify a lesson to meet their particular needs. And when you take all that away, all you're going to get is a generic, cheap, rubber stamp public education. And you know what? The thing is that why do we want that? Again, it all revolves around a wartime economy. It's like face incarceration, face military service. And meanwhile, of course, the elitists, it doesn't affect them because their children get sent off to parochial schools, private mm-hmm. schools. You know what I mean? They're not in the loop with this problem because they send their kids to, you know, Beverly Hills Country Club or whatever fancy school, parochial schools, so that they don't have to face these problems. What we're talking about is the American working class, because the American working class is the one that disproportionately pays the price sending our children to the front lines. The people in Beverly Hills and Bel Air and all Brentwood, they're not sending their kids to go die in the front lines. That's something that's unique, like I say, to the inner city. And if someone has to say something about it, and this has to stop.
Absolutely. And David, here's the thing that they use. I know it's about 45,000 teachers in California school district. And now they're trying to bring in people. That's why the charter school is so important to them, because they don't want to educate our children anymore. They feel that they don't need educated kids.
Yeah,
they don't need them no more. That's their thing. Automation, all this stuff have came into play, and now they're doing everything within their power not to educate our children. And we're sitting back saying it's okay. If you don't stand up and fight for something, you'll fall for anything, and that's what we've been doing, falling for anything. And listen,
exactly.
David, you got about 2 minutes to say whatever you want, whatever your heart desire. It was an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show today. But listen, you got 2 minutes, say whatever your heart desire, and I got to bring on my good friend Larry Pimpson. Go ahead.
No, hey, I just wanted to thank you. Like I said, you and your wife, keep fighting. Don't give up the fight, the struggle. You know, everyone thinks the economy is getting better and the Great Recession is over. You know what? That's not true. The Great Recession is not over. We're in the middle of things. I don't think things will get better till about 2016. You know what? I want to thank you for letting me have the opportunity to speak to your listeners. I also want to say if you guys have any questions or you'd like to contact me in the future, you can feel free to email me at david.r.garcia@hotmail.com. Again, my email address is david.r.garcia@hotmail.com. And for those of the listeners that you have out here in Los Angeles, I will be running for president of United Teachers Los Angeles. You can email me for details, and you can see for yourself firsthand that I have a strategic plan to help counter the wartime perpetual war economy that the United States is trying to establish. I'm endorsed by Noam Chomsky, and I believe, if I can say so, I'm endorsed by you, Reverend Prinkney, am I not?
Absolutely. You are. You are 100% correct.
Okay.
You definitely,
thank you very
much. I'm going to do everything within my power to get my people out there to help you.
Okay. Thank you very much, man. I really appreciate it.
All right. But listen, I got to move on, Dave. But listen, you are welcome to come on this show anytime your heart desires.
Okay. Okay. Well, hey.
Got you, Dave.
Yeah,
take
sure.
care of yourself. And tell everybody out there, I say, hey.
All right, man. Thanks, Reverend.
All right. God bless you now.
All right. You too.
Now it's time to bring on my good friend. He wrote a book. He's a military man. He used to sit behind me in the eighth grade. Every once in a while, I had to smack him upside his head just to straighten him out. But he's my friend. He's my guy. He's a 250 baseball hitter. Larry Pinson, are you there?
The little Ed.
What's up? What's up? What's up, big yo? You, the
man, you know, you keep on telling them people that I was 280 straight down the right field line, man. You need to tell
you know,
that.
We had to send you down the right field line to shack them fly balls. You know, we know we took good care of you, yo.
Yeah, I understand that. But don't let the people get this thing twisted. I was 280 hit a lifetime, you know, and I went up with a shot down the right field line.
That's the truth. You hit a lot of shots down the right field line.
Exactly,
yeah, absolutely,
exactly.
Absolutely. But listen, you wrote that amazing book. I'm excited about it. I've been keeping up with it and trying to read as much as I can online and stuff like that, trying to get an idea exactly what, you know, where you're going with it. I think that chaps will work. I think if they put that into operation, it will work. But here's what I want to know, and that's why I want to have you on the show.
Okay.
I want you to explain to me about the work week. That kind of like, you know, kind of got me a little confused, but you were saying the work week is a 40-hour week?
Yes.
Or it's not a 40-hour week?
It is a 40-hour work week.
Mm-hmm, that's what it is.
Okay, yes.
Go ahead. Go ahead. It's a 40-hour work week. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And you said, how many hours in a year or something? You were saying that something about that also.
Okay, well,
tell me, let's go through the process. Talk to me.
Okay, let me get to you straight. Okay, God wants you to work 40 hours. And be, okay, he wants you to work 1 week, that's 40 hours. And then he wants you to work, be off 3 weeks within 1 week.
Okay.
Let me repeat that once again. So everybody that's listening, so they might have want to write this down. God wants you to work 1 week and be off 3 weeks within 1 week.
Within 1 week, and
within
tell me how,
one week.
How that will work.
Okay, how it will work is that it's the pay system that I developed through the teaching of God. It's God's pay system, so I want to get this straight right now. You know, because God left man to rule this world, and so God put certain people on this earth to do certain things for him. And I'm so happy to tell you that he put me on this earth to provide jobs for his people, with no doubt about it. And I'm talking about everlasting job, a job that won't run out. The money will not run out. So all these corporations is paying people on the scale or whatever, you know, they can't give them $15 an hour. They tell me the price of a hamburger is going to go up sky high. No. God's pay system, CHAPS, clockable hours, application processing pay system, will provide jobs, and they'll have that employer flipping that hamburger for nothing. It won't cost that employer anything. So if the employer got a portfolio, let's say we're going to use McDonald's because McDonald's is on my website. And so the fast food people picking the McDonald's, you know, but, you know, we don't need to take to the streets. No, because I'm not going to go out there freezing right now. You know, the first time, you know, lately, if you've seen on the weekend, there are people out there freezing and stuff and trying to march around McDonald's. You know, no. God don't want you to do that, you know. And there's another thing. God don't want you to have a hardened heart. You know, just take... Just look at Mandela, the man that God gets, brought home a few weeks ago, whatever. Look how he handled his situation. And that's how God wants us to act. He don't want us to be out there riding and stuff like that, you know, because it ain't going to get you nowhere.
Not necessarily, Larry. I don't think they're ever going to be a change without a conflict. I don't think if I was in power, would I give up my power? Because it's the right thing to do. They don't do that. People in power are usually evil people, and I think the only thing that you ever going to get from them, you have to take it.
Now, I'm gonna tell you something. Let's go to Moses. Moses, God told Moses to go to Pharaoh and release the people.
Yes, he did.
But hold it now. God told Moses that every time he go to him, he going to make Pharaoh's heart harden. That means he ain't going to listen to him. And so Moses said, well, hey, I'm defeated before I even start. He said, but, you know, you go down there. And then so, first of all, Moses had to have enough faith to go down there because they were looking for him.
Yeah.
They wanted for murder.
Yeah.
They were looking for him, you know. So, but he said he went back. He went back, and he did exactly what God said. And he said, you know what? The problem was, it wasn't Pharaoh so much. But now you got to remember, Pharaoh was the government. That's what we got to be dealing with, the government. We're not talking about the United States.
Absolutely, Larry.
America.
You hit the nail right on the head.
That's right. We're talking about the government.
Part of the evil government.
That's right. We're talking about the government. We're not talking about the United States of America. You know, the first thing they're going to tell you, if you don't like America, you get back on that boat and go back to Africa. I never came from Africa. You know, I came from the field. I did in Georgia. You know, that's where I was born and I was conceived in Georgia, you know, a few miles out of Atlanta.
Okay.
So that's where I came from. But my ancestors, and I acknowledge my ancestors, came from Africa.
Yes,
and that's a wonderful thing, you know.
Absolutely.
And so you know what? We are dealing with a God. He's tired of, you know, what you are talking now. He's tired of it. God already resolved that problem once you read chaps. Okay, now, that young man you had
about
on.
Chaps. Let's get back on chaps.
Okay. Okay. What chap is a pay system that will provide jobs for every pay system that's on earth. It's five different chaps in my book. It's a full-time military chap. It's five different versions of chaps.
Okay.
It's full-time military chaps, part-time military chaps, full-time bargaining unit civilian chaps. That's the post office. And then a full-time bargaining unit, part-time bargaining unit civilian chaps, still the post office. And then it's a chap that deal with people that work on salary. It's five different chaps in that system. But all of them come together. All of them come together. And basically, the problem is people are hoodwinked and they're misled on how much money they make per hour.
Mm.
Now, if you talk to any postal employee, they can say they work eight hours a day for 8 hours pay. Which is not true. And then they're going to tell they get paid every 2 weeks. So they're not a myth.
Okay.
All of these are myths. And so, but you know what? The post office, the reason a postal employee won't set up, they want that overtime.
Uh-huh.
They hooked on overtime. See, you know, and the United States postal system used that overtime to keep it quiet. You know, you know, it's just like a drug. You know, when you first come to the post office, they're going to give you a real weak salary when you first start. But then when you work overtime, you can get a time and a half, and then you might be in such a situation, you get double time. You know, that's how the system is. But mostly, that's why the United States Postal System keep all these employees quiet.
Mm.
But just like you said a while ago, they're trying to take your pension. See, now,
yeah.
I have a pension from the post office. My wife have a pension from the post office. And I got a whole lot of cousins and friends and family got a pension from the post office right now. And
mm-hmm.
then, you know, if they take that, you can't take that. No,
mm.
that's not going to happen.
Well, that's the same thing people say in Detroit wasn't going to happen. They're taking theirs.
Oh, okay. Well, as a matter of fact,
they're coming to Chicago. They talk about the pensions in Chicago.
You're exactly right. But you know, but you know what? They don't know. As of March of this year, God finally let me finish that book. And it's on the Internet. That book is on the Internet. He finally let me finish that book. And any corporate, you know, just like Whirlpool?
Yeah.
Whirlpool, yeah, tell Whirlpool to write a check.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem will be resolved. Benton Harbor, Michigan will be, if they banking them, they will be the best, you know, we won't have no problem. Write a check. You tell Detroit, Michigan, that's bankrupt. You know, checks will bring them out of bankrupt. Now, you know what? It's God's plan, and I believe in it. And so all I got to do, I'm trying to get the people to believe in it. You know, because there's some hard-headed people out there. Especially
absolutely. Well, tell us where they can go and the five chapters. Also, tell them how they can get in touch with you. Tell them, because last time you was on, you was talking, and people sent me emails and stuff. They wanted to know more about it, and I sent them to your website. But I want you to do it. Take your time and give it so they can get it. Those of you out there, get a pencil and a piece of paper and go and find out what Larry Pinson has on his website. Go ahead, Larry.
Okay, it's chapspaysystem.com. It's chapspaysystem.com. That's my website. And
excellent. Is there any other way that they might be able to get in touch with you?
Yes. My email is on the website. So
your email is
email
on the
me.
Website.
Right.
So
my email is
repeat that one more time for me, so those who didn't get it. And I'm encouraging everybody to take a look at this system, and I believe that it will work if we put it into operation. Go ahead, Larry. Take your time and get that website out again, and then I got to move on to my good friend, Dr. Short.
Okay. It's chapspaysystem.com.
All right.
Now, this pay system will benefit employees, employers, the union, and taxpayers. Because this pay system, I always say, this pay system is the government relief on job creation.
Well, we can't ask for no more than that, Larry.
Right.
Hey,
okay.
It's a privilege and an honor to talk with you. You used to live two doors down from me. You used to sit behind me. You used to play. You used to have to send him down the right field line, but he's still my man. You're
I love
man,
right.
Larry. You always will be. Love you, and you know, just keep up the great work. You hear?
That's right. Well, but you know what, little Ed, I'm gonna tell you this. Give me a reporter, man. Tell a reporter to talk to me. And
we'll
I give
do.
It to
Matter of fact, I'm calling a press conference on Wednesday, so we'll see what we can do.
All right, that sounds good to me, man. So you have a blessed day.
You take care of yourself. You hear?
All right, my brother.
Stay in touch.
All right,
my good friend Larry Pinson, we call him Yogi. We used to send him down the right field line. But now I got to bring on my good friend Dr. Short. Dr. Short, are you there?
Yes, Reverend Pinckney, I'm here. Do you hear me?
I can hear you quite well, Dr. Short. How you feeling today?
Reverend Pinckney, I feel great. I'm literally just waking up. The temperature dropped. I was up all last night. I'm working on several things as I speak with you. The first thing I want to let you know, I have Maggie Rose is calling in, so be looking for her because we had a major breakthrough. Miss Charlotte Bergman, she's a very prominent Christian, politically active woman in Memphis, has signed up to help Maggie and Ashton and her other two children through this very difficult moment. I consider that a major break in what we're trying to do. So I'm ecstatic about that. There is a very prominent television movie star, last name Cersei, who's tweeting about Ashton. So I've been reaching out and putting this out. I want you to ask Brother Larry Pinckney to get this before Alex Jones.
Okay.
We have to move this out. So I'm getting response. Francis Cress Wilson has been reached out to. We're reaching out to everyone to step in for this boy. And Reverend Pinckney, my computer is down, so I don't have the address for which to ask people to send resources to Maggie or to Attorney Sweet. And when you put me on, I was about to text the attorney for the P.O. box, which I haven't memorized. And so I want to make certain that people know we need resources because children are very sick, and we're still just hanging on. And we must help. We must remind people that this mother took her child in for a routine procedure in August 14th, and they castrated the child through the penis in the trash can or some hazmat. That's what they're saying. All the while having lied to her that they were going to reattach or do some restorative surgery for about a month and a half. Need to understand the Christ Community Health Services group has like 11 clinics. This is a monster. It's not one ghetto clinic or one clinic in the hood. This is a cabal of places that do whatever they feel like doing to the people that come there. That's what this mother, who was caring about her child, stepped up against when she asked, "What happened to my child?" And that's why all the hospitals, all of the people who are in the money and in the know and in the circles, nobody stepped forward. So almost like Mary, Mother of Jesus, with her child, the whole world steps up to her when Herod says, "I don't care for this baby." So the medical industrial establishment is acting like Herod in the case of baby Ashton. And they're so cruel that they've decided to blacklist her, so it's hard for her to get medical care for her other child that has a major heart impairment.
Wow, you know, Dr. Short, that is amazing.
We must help her.
When I was in New York, I did speak about that. Wherever I went, you know, for the last couple of weeks, I definitely been speaking about it, letting people know exactly what was going on and this baby needs help. I do have an address for the if people wanted to send funds. What I have is Dennis Sweet and Sweet and Associates. Is that the correct thing?
That's correct.
Street and Associates.
And I believe it.
P.O. Box.
I believe it's P.O. Box 1045.
No, 1178.
1178, yes.
Uh-huh. Jackson, Mississippi, 39215. Mm-hmm. His office
repeat
number is 601-965-8700, which is great. And those, his, he even give his mobile number out, which is 601-750-0510. Listen, you people out there.
It's best to text him. It's best for people to text him. He gets a lot of calls. Text him if you're not able, because he's hard to catch. Text him. I want to tell folks that folks cutting off baby penises happens all over the country. They even have programs where they're pushing this in Africa. There's a man who had us on his program. He was castrated as a baby in 1980. Black man.
Mm.
This happens all the time. All the time.
Absolutely.
And it's
absolutely.
Not an accident. And, it's, and they're lying, saying it's a bot circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the picture. They cut him down to the bone, Reverend Pinckney.
Wow.
Down
wow.
to the bone.
And, you know,
that was
and, you know what, I myself,
and,
every time
and,
I think about it,
criminal.
I just freeze, you know. And I say, oh, no. I, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to talk about it, and it's hard for me to talk about it. I can imagine how they feel.
Yes, Reverend Pinckney, can I switch up for one moment? Because you were
go right here. Go
something.
Right here. I do have a 901 number here. I don't think that's a Memphis number.
That's her.
Okay.
That's her.
So you go ahead and take that, then I'm going to bring her on next.
Sure. Reverend Pinckney, one of my friend's grandfathers passed a few days ago. My best friend, my sister's name is Blondie. Her grandfather's Nelson Mandela. My
okay.
friends in Johannesburg are in the Mandela or the Madiba family. We want to offer condolences to the Mandela family and the people of South Africa, but I've always been honest with my friend. Mandela in many ways is just like Barack Obama. Malnutrition, poverty, and misery of the black majority in South Africa continues. Since he and others who call themselves blacks for the people assume power, less than 1% of the land stolen from the black majority has been returned. Nelson Mandela deliberately violated, and so did the entire ANC, the policy of giving the people what had been stolen from them. All over South Africa, the rate of attrition is almost 80% for many people. Most people do not know that poverty, disease, people who die by the thousands due to preventable problems, the ANC has continued the economic policies of the apartheid state in South Africa, but with the black face. This is exactly what we have with Obama. And so they're going to lie to people. Mandela, great man, and I say great symbolically, what we would like for everything to have been with a black head of state. But in reality, the whites are richer than ever before, the Asians are richer than ever before, and blacks are about in the same or worse position.
They are poorer than ever before.
Yes. That country is at the brink of a major social explosion that will make Rwanda look like a Christian picnic, because justice has not been done. And you cannot solve the problem of slavery and genocide over several hundred years by having a Truth and Reconciliation Committee that meets where individuals apologize to individuals. Systemic and structural racism and oppression cannot be corrected by folks saying, I'm sorry. We have to, in particular people of African descent, stop accepting a mess of pottage of pleasantries serving as real justice. And we have to be careful when people who've oppressed us make one single individual the personification of a people in a struggle. It doesn't work with Martin Luther King, and it will not work with Nelson Mandela. Most people must know that the key organizations that fought for freedom in South Africa had virtually nothing to do with the ANC. The Pan-African Congress, there are a range of others, the ZAPU, these were the real fighters. The ANC is the equivalent of the NAACP with state power.
And you know, you are absolutely right. You know, you are right. You are right on point. In fact, they helped neutralize Mandela when he got out.
Mm-hmm.
They helped neutralize him.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ANC is complicit in the murder of many of the key black leaders in the ANC that fought for justice.
Mm-hmm.
It's carefully done. People do not know. People do not know this. Winnie Mandela, I'm going to keep saying it, Viva Winnie Mandela. We wouldn't even know who Nelson Mandela was were it not for his wife.
That's
the
right.
Sexism
mm-hmm.
and the hatred against this great woman, it disgusts me as a man that this woman was the one who kept it going. And the millions of young people, the ANC had nothing to do with the young people rising up in 1976. They were like the young people now who had no leadership and saw none.
I tell you, Dr. Short, that is amazing. People don't get it. And like every leader, Mandela spent all that time in prison, got out, and he was neutralized, really. That's exactly what happened. He was neutralized. But what everybody looked for is I believe it was 27 years that he spent in prison and refused to tell them. See, they wanted him to admit that he was wrong. That's the reason why he stayed in prison so long more than anything else, and he refused to do it.
Herman Wallace was in solitary confinement almost 42 years.
Mm-hmm.
Obama could have let him out. He took his silly self down to Robben Island and cried crocodile tears for Mandela, who was in Robben Island about 18 years, but then spent 9 years in a country club jail.
Mm.
I mean, but there are black men right now who've been in solitary confinement as long as Mandela was in jail. And this monster Obama and his minion, his henchman, his thug, Eric Holder, refused to let thousands of people out of jail, and yet I can go downtown and see the flag half-staff for Mandela. And yet
I know exactly what you're saying. But listen, I want to bring on Maggie right fast, and
sure.
So she can get her word in before I bring on my TIs, okay? So just don't
all
hang
right.
up. Just stay
yeah.
with me. All right.
All right.
Maggie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I've been spreading the word about what happened, and every time I think about it, you know, it just tears my heart apart. I can't know how you feel because it's not, but I understand. Let's put it this way. I'm trying to get people to send funds and stuff like that. I did give out an address. How's baby Aston doing?
He's still crying. He's up all night. He's still in a lot of pain due to the circumcision. He's very irritated, like, at night when he's trying to sleep. And I'm just taking one day at a time.
Wow. And listen, you have another child, is that correct?
Yes.
How's that child doing?
I have a daughter. Just had open heart surgery. Just found out she got exposed to a bacteria. It's a sort of an infection around her heart and brain. So now we back at the hospital.
Wow. It's been a tough year for you. But we do understand one thing, that we're going to fight for you and fight with you to try to do whatever we can to help you. I do have one thing to say. Whatever happened to that doctor? Have anything been done in reference to the doctor clinic?
Not that I know of. Have anything happened to the doctor yet? She's still practicing inside the clinic. And that's what we're saying at now.
Okay. Have your attorney filed any complaint against the clinic itself, or we're going to wait it out? Tell us the process.
Well, I'm going to have to let my attorney answer that question because it's like everything's under, like, a law. Tennessee have their own law strategy.
Uh-huh.
He has to file everything in order. We in now with the custody battle for Ashton with my baby Danny, and that's the last I know where we stand at today.
You seen your baby daddy? He want custody of your son now?
No, he don't want custody. We trying to get him to sign off on the paperwork.
Uh-huh.
It won't be like he's trying to come back and say he want custody of Ashton. You know, we're going through the custody battle now.
Oh, okay. 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 Wow, that's, you know, Maggie, that is truly, truly amazing. Tell me what you want to say, what you want this audience to know. I have received several emails in reference to you. I like to send you some of those emails that I have received. People, they want to reach out. They want to find a way to help. And, you know, people are funny today. They want information. And then we want to give them the information they need. Tell me what you want this audience to know. And take your time because we love you. And we're going to do whatever we can to help you. So take your time and say whatever you want. You got about 3-4 minutes to say whatever your heart desires.
Okay. First of all, I would like to thank you all for taking the time to interview with me, helping me get my story out there about my son and what happened to my son. Second of all, like, I'm not a good beggar, and I am, like, in a financial situation right now. I did open up a PayPal account under MaggieRhodes47@yahoo.com.
Could you repeat that again?
It's under MaggieRhodes47@yahoo.com. I have a PayPal account, and if anybody wants to help out with my son Ashton and my family, they can also send funds to that account under PayPal. And third of all, I would like to say, you know, it's been a blessing for people in another state to really look at my son's case, because in my own state, I feel like I'm getting treated like a stepchild. If it was the other way around and I would have waited 4 or 5 days to open up that marriage, I probably would have been all over the news. I probably would have made world news. They probably would have said a Memphis mom cut off her own baby penis. I really feel like the state of Tennessee would have blamed me for my son, for what happened to my son, besides blaming the doctor. And I feel like they ignoring the fact that that happened to my son.
You know what, Maggie, you just keep going.
And I feel like I could have been in jail. You know, my life, you know, it fell overnight. I had 2 jobs. I'm a single mom. I have 3 kids. I was never on drugs. I never been in jail. I graduated from high school, also attended college, and I have a lot on my background, and I feel like my life could have been snatched from me overnight. I'm not one of the ones that quit a job, get a job. In my whole life, I can count on one hand how many jobs that I had. I worked for UPS over 10 years, U.S. Food, and, you know, I feel like I was a mother out there trying to provide for my children, and, you know, I had a downfall. And I feel like I failed my kids, you know, because sometimes we try to make the right decisions, and we can make the right decisions, and they also can be the wrong decisions.
Right.
And so, that's why I said I felt like I felt my children on that level of life. You know, it's Christmas time. You know, I can't really provide for them at the moment, you know, like I would like to. But, you know, I'm just trusting God.
All right, and you know, and we're gonna do all we can to get you some, at least some financial help and some more help, and see where we at with this. And you just stay focused, don't get sidetracked. And anytime you want to come on and you feel like you want to come on and talk a few words, you are welcome to be on at any time. Cause we are here for you, and we're gonna rally around you and do whatever needs to be done. And you can always call me also. You can call my, if you got a pencil on a piece of paper, I'll give you my number. Okay. Because I tell you, people out there, this is something where everybody can rally around Maggie and Axton and her family and try to send her something. If you send her $10, $15, you go to PayPal and do what you can, because you might be in this position one day. One thing we got to learn, to help each other just a little bit more. We don't, you know, we're so busy trying not to help each other. And that's why we get in these predicaments. So Maggie, are you there?
Yeah,
already. All right, it's 269-925-0001. That's Reverend Edward Pinckney with a P, P-I-N-K-N-E-Y. And Maggie, please give out that that PayPal account again one more time so we can move on. And I got to bring on my TIs after this. Go ahead. Give out that PayPal account.
It's MaggieRhodes47@yahoo.com. That's MaggieRhodes47@yahoo.com.
Very good. Very good. Well, Maggie, anytime you feel like coming on talking, you are welcome to do so. And I want you to know that we're going to do whatever we can to help you. And that's a promise, not a say-so.
Okay.
All right. On that note, I got to move on. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. God bless you now. It's TI time. It's time to bring on my TIs, my target individuals. We go all over the country talking about the target individuals. They just completed a book, Soldier of Fortune, and we dedicated some of the half of the last chapter to the TIs. So that will be coming out now. I'm reading the manuscript. I'm looking it over, checking it out, make sure it's not naughty, and make sure it's nice. So we're doing the things that need to be done. And on that note, I got to bring in my good friend Ken. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinckney.
How are you doing today, Ken?
Not too bad. It sounds like they got this poor woman targeted too, to me.
Yeah.
That's exactly the way they do it. Then they throw everything at you. Then her other daughter all of a sudden gets sick. These are psychopaths we're dealing with, and the American people better wake up before it hits them.
Absolutely. It seemed like it's going to hit everybody the way they do, or it have hit everybody. You know, we're dealing with some bad people. We're dealing with people who don't have no love for nobody. And we just have to do what we need to do, Ken. I tell you, it's amazing when you think about it. Every time I think about that, you know, I just get all frizzy up, you know. I say, wow, I can't even imagine that, you know.
Well, now I'm going to get on the subject of Detroit. I heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, that the police, the firefighters, and all of them, all the state workers or city workers are losing 80% of their pension?
That is correct.
I'm writing an article.
They're losing 80. Those who are already on pension that has retired, or a city worker, anything that has to do with pension in the city of Detroit, they're claiming that they're going to make an 80% deduction.
Right. You know, and I'm writing an article this week to go into the American Free Press as an advertisement, because I'm warning them, these policemen all, it's hard for me as a TI to have any sympathy for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying all of them are bad, but when a TI goes to police or anybody, they refuse to take report about what they're doing to us, and they know, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them know, and also the fire trucks, they run them by the houses. They're terraced their damn self, and they want to try to put fear in the TIs. They run the fire trucks by. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't have very much sympathy for those that's involved in. They know who they are.
Yes,
ones
they
involved,
do.
If they take their pensions, as far as I'm concerned, they wasn't entitled to them to start with. Now, the rest of them, like I'm telling them, it came to Detroit. And if you think it ain't coming to your city, just hang on for the ride, because it's going to hit a lot of cities before this is over, big cities. They're all going to get it. So just keep doing their evil stuff, and they'll find out that this government doesn't care for anybody. I don't care who you are. They don't care about anybody. A lot of these people, they're helping target the TIs. They think they're on the winning team. Well, when it's over, it ain't going to be the winning team. They can follow their preacher with the clergy response team right on into the FEMA camps where they're going to be safe and fed, and then they get their heads cut off. So keep,
absolutely.
You know, keep following,
you know,
keep following
Ken,
them.
That is absolutely right on point, too. The people, you know, the people that were retired, the police officers, the fire department, they thought they had it made in the sun. They thought that this governor was the sweetest governor there was in the whole wide world. And now they got hit with the sledgehammer, and they don't know what to do or what to say. They're confused. Now, you talking about they're going about to lose 80%. These people are going to have to go back to work.
Well, yeah, you know what? But, you know, some of them deserve it. I ain't saying all of them deserve it, but I'm telling you one thing. I've heard as a TI, we go to the police and try to write out a report, and they laugh at you like they think it's funny. Well, in my heart, I think it's funny that the ones involved in it, I'm glad they're losing their pension. They didn't deserve it to start with.
Mm.
Now, I ain't saying everybody's bad. That's the policeman. Everybody worked for the city wasn't bad. They worked. They thought they had that coming and guaranteed. Well, when you go bankrupt, I'm surprised they're even getting 20% of it, if you don't know the truth.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Well, you know, and that's what they was gunning for, the pension anyway. You know, once they take that pension, can you imagine? It won't take long before Detroit be back on the right track, because remember, you got the red Chinese buying up blocks and blocks of downtown. You got those six billionaires buying up blocks and blocks of downtown Detroit. And you're about to see a whole new Detroit, something that, you know, that it might be the best city probably in the country in reference for the corporations. Go ahead.
Just today, Reverend Pena, I went to see this old lady, and she lives in Detroit. She worked for me for years. She's an older black lady, one of the best workers I ever had. I went to see her today. I pulled into her block, and 9 out of probably 15 houses are boarded up or halfway burnt down. She's got a nice yard. Her house looks really nice. But can you imagine you're the only house in 3 blocks that looks like it's worth living in?
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, we got that here in Benton Harbor. It's all over the country once again. Same stuff, same situation. That's because the people are sleeping. The people right now are unconscious. They're not conscious of exactly what's going on. You know, and they have issues. They have major issues.
Right. And a lot of these people are going along with this targeting of, they don't realize while they're helping target us and they think they're on the winning team, they got another 1,000 to target them. But yet they don't know it because it ain't hitting them just yet. They don't realize that when they're taking all your phone calls, listening to them, all your emails, all your Facebook, they know everything about you.
Uh-huh.
That's for a reason. So
they can
control you.
That's right. You say you hit the nail right on the head. Well, hey, Ken, I got to move on. I got to go to our good friend Gloria, see what she got for us. And let's stay focused, do the things that need to be done, and let's take this thing to a whole different level.
Okay, Reverend Pink. Thank you.
All right. And you take care of yourself.
Okay.
All right. Gloria, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinkney.
How you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm enjoying the snowfall because I don't have to be in it, so.
That's right, because there's a lot
good.
Of snow falling there in Philadelphia. Is that correct?
Well, it's not too bad now. It's like snowed up, but everything is covered in white, so it looks pretty
okay.
For now.
So you might end up having a white Christmas.
Yeah, they might. They just might. Or with the way the weather changes, it might be 80 degrees.
Yeah,
so we'll just have to
wait and
see.
What you're saying. All right, now, all right, give me what you
have. Operate harp.
All
right. Okay, what I have is, what is transhumanism? The definition varies depending on who you consult, but here's Wikipedia's. Transhumanism is an international, intellectual, and cultural movement supporting the use of science and technology to improve human mental and physical characteristics and capacities. The movement regards aspects of the human condition such as disability, suffering, disease, aging, and involuntary death as unnecessary and undesirable. Transhumanists look to biotechnologies and other emerging technologies for those purposes. These are noble goals. After all, who would be against ending disabilities, suffering, disease, aging, and involuntary death and destruction? If the transhumanist yet aforementioned philosophical and political movements of the Industrial Revolution, Marxism, fascism, communism, and eugenics, all had similar utopian goals. Despite their promises, the real-world application of each resulted in unprecedented death and destruction. If the transhumanist movement takes flight, it will result in more of the same. Why? Because of all these movements fail to address the root cause of the current human condition, the sinful nature of man. Instead of placing God at the center of each of these movements, the movements place extraordinary men at the center, whether through means of a ruling elite class, a master race, for the evolutionary development of better human beings. Thank you for listening.
Wow, thank you so much. That you know, that's tremendous. You know, we're giving the people education all across the country, and we have so many people who are TIs that are listening. That's, you know, that's the big thing. And this is stuff that they need to know. And I'm hoping that they take this stuff in, take notes. And next time we come on, we're going to make sure they have a pencil and a piece of paper so they can understand exactly where we're going. But listen, I got to move on, Gloria. Thank you so much. Stay warm and stay out of that snow. And if I was there, I'd have a snowball fight with you. But unfortunately, I'm not there, so maybe in the future.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, then. Take care now. God bless you.
All right.
All right. My good friend, Dorothy. Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, you sound good.
Thank you. So do you.
Is it snowing up there?
No, but we have snow on the ground.
Oh, y'all never get no snow. That little snow, y'all get that. Yeah, that's baby stuff.
Yeah, that's
right.
You
want the real deal. But listen, I know you got something you're citing you want to tell us about. Talk to us.
Well, I think, you know, I always like to bring some interesting research to the table. So I'd ask your listeners to go out and put in the search bar of YouTube videos, Alan, A-L-A-N, Watt, W-A-T-T, Alan Watt, A-L-A-N, Watt, W-A-T-T. He's got multiple bits of information. Now, you can actually see pictures of him, so let's make sure we have a description. He's a white guy. He has possibly a Scottish accent. He's got a brown beard, brown mustache, and brown hair. Okay, he's probably about 50, 60. What he does is, in a very pleasant way, he's not a fearmonger. He is not a person that's trying to get people upset and violent or incite anything. He's simply educating people from the history of what is going on, the real history. He begins to, in numerous presentations, begins to share the history of the elitists, what their plans are, what they're doing, how they're bringing about. He plugs in from a very right now, right here kind of awareness in how they're beginning to find all the loopholes in all the businesses and infiltrate globally what they want and how they're then imploding through scam after scam. He talks about the politicians and how the politickens, as I call it, those are the people that like to kick people to the side but get what they want, and how he even talks about how politicians in the elitist standpoints are attempting to then undermine everyone who is a common and good and decent person. Those of us that were raised to be honorable and ethical, and how do I mean that? Those are the people that would return the $20 that fell out of the back of somebody's pocket rather than pocket it and say, hey, tough luck. But he describes it, and he gives you examples from not only history, but in our current history, in our current understanding, and where they're trying to take it. It's absolutely essential for people to begin listening to and to become aware and how this plant plugs into every person's individual life experience, because he's probably one of the best all-around explanations of what is going on. So that's something to be paying attention to. Now, well, Dr. and I'm going to switch here. Dr. Randy Short was bringing up earlier about Nelson Mandela. And yet I also want to gently remind people that, interestingly enough, President Reagan, Ron Reagan in the 80s, and Margaret Thatcher, who was the Prime Minister of England at that time, said of Mandela, before he got out of prison, that he was a terrorist, that he was a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the point being is that we need to begin being reminded, gently reminded, that our history does not have to go back to the 60s, the 50s, the 40s to know of hate and discounting of human beings. In about 2001 or so, I would meet an attorney who actually worked for Desmond Tutu. And we had a rather lengthy discussion on the Reconciliation Committee and all that transpired, because after Nelson Mandela got out of prison, they would put together what was called Reconciliation Committees as a means of trying to resolve those who were working for the elitist in murdering a great many of the people, traumatizing, murdering, abusing the people throughout the different cities and provinces of South Africa. What that looked like was those who were the murderers coming forward, they virtually, all they had to do was say they were sorry. And the victims who witnessed horrific incidences against their loved ones, murdered, tortured, but were also often tortured, would speak about how these people just had to say they were sorry, and there was really no accountability. Now, I'm simply bringing this forward because the idea is, where does it stop? If you really look at that history, it really didn't stop. It just went underground, didn't it?
That's correct.
And it continues in a different form or fashion. And again, all we have to do is look at our own history as Americans, even if you can't fully fathom the fact that the indigenous people known as Indians in America had millions of people, millions of tribes, which were their own clan in this country. And where are they now? They're on reservations, also known as prison camps, also known as internment camps. And the mass majority of those peoples have been murdered and have been under genocide for decades. We also have the African people who were brought here by kidnap, despite the fact that the international slave trade was made illegal. The U.S. had a domestic slave trade that was never made illegal. And what we're looking at is that when a great many of the kidnapped Africans came to this country, the Black Star Liner was created by a black man who was free, and he made millions, and he put together the equivalent of the Black Star Liner, which was the sister ship, the opposite sister ship of the White Star Liner, known as the Titanic and the Olympia. He wanted to take many or any African and their descendants back to Africa to repatriate them to their original homelands, and sadly, they were not allowed to leave this country. They were not allowed to leave. And again, looking at history, so many good and decent men who were brutalized as Africans, African-Americans, by their ancestors or through their ancestry in this country would serve in our military forces, both World War I. They served for France because of the prejudice. They would serve throughout America and World War II and on, as did even Native American peoples. And yet, we've never fully acknowledged who these people were, as they were intentionally destroyed of their language, their belief systems, and yet those same belief systems have been utilized by a lot of these criminally elite people to then be used against their people and who they are. So this is now what's happening in many of the white communities. The whites often, and please know, I know that this doesn't apply to all whites. There are always four groups that I keep being able to look at. There are those who are totally naive and unaware. There are those who are being targeted because they were not willing to participate in prejudice or abuse of other people. That's who they were raised to be. There are those, the third group is those who are going along because of position, power, and getting promotions. At the same time, those who have turned back because of intimidation or maybe a loved one has been abused or even killed, so they've gone along to protect the rest of their family. And those who are really operating this, which is the criminally elite. As those systems have operated in every system, religious, culture, political, all career fields, this is what keeps moving forward. Because often Americans have been across the board that when we start hearing of horrific scandals, all they do is put up these very innocent people and say, I've never seen this, and we're more likely to believe in that than all the evidence in front of us. It's time to take off the blinders. Because the men and women who dare to put their lives at risk, to speak about the atrocities in which we have continually seen, not just for years, not just for decades, but for centuries, for hundreds of years that have been going on globally, it is doing nothing more than ripping up and destroying the next generations that we are trying to warn. Remember, when truth, when people's personal witnessing of what they have seen in their lifetime and what they have seen to hundreds of other, if not thousands of other people, is happening and is being silenced, it is not because it is a system that is honoring truth and justice. It is a system that wants to cause a great deal of pain, horrificness, and brutality towards those who would dare to say no more. No more crazy making. No more allowance of this kind of abuse. So let's help each other, and let's discern who these people are that are traumatizing other and turn the clock against them. Well, you don't have to be violent against them. Use some of the other religious groups like the Amish or others. Let's use their practices of shunning the criminals. Unplug from what they do, boycott what they do, boycott and point them out who and what they are. Thank you for listening.
All right. You know, and it's really important that the last part you talk about boycott, see, that's a weapon that we can use against these people, and we need to utilize it just a little bit more. Keep your money in your pocket. Remember, boycott all World Food products. Boycott everything in Florida. We're doing what needs to be done. And, you know, the only reason why Melissa Alexander is right now out of jail is because the boycott. Yes, that's the truth. The only reason that she's out today is because of the boycott. But I tell you, we are having a good time today, and I tell you, we're just out here rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking, just showing people what we can do if we work together, because I think we really got it going on. I think we're going to be able to make a change. And believe me, there's never going to be a change without a conflict. I don't care what people say. They can think whatever they want. The people in power is not going to give up that power because you tell them to. You almost have to force them. On that note, I got to bring in my good friend, Elvira. Elvira, are you there? Elvira,
yes, I'm here.
How you doing, Elvira?
I'm hanging in there.
Talk to me.
I heard the guy talking about the union. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
They did the same thing to me. I'm getting $17 a month from the union. And
mm-hmm.
I worked very hard in many years out of Los Angeles. I worked in Beverly Hills, you know, banquets and stuff like that, hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, I'm being targeted. My targeting is started in a hospital, Broward General Hospital in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I went there, you know, I'm a human rights activist. I was in the anti-war movement and different, all about 15 different movements and activism I was doing, you know, the voting, the Haitians, the Immokalee workers, the vote stop, you know, it's so many, I can't think them all right back to back. The Centric Tinker group, there were so many. Anyway, I find myself, and also toxic mold, toxic waste, and so on and so forth. My list is long. I was protesting, going from Miami all the way to Washington, D.C. And they wanted me to stop, but I couldn't. So what happened was I ended up having a bad asthma attack because I was living on the hood because of my disability. And so I ended up in a hospital from an asthma attack. I lived in several different HUD dwellings. They evicted me, and they have my money. To this day, they still have my money, and I was evicted, though the HUD still let me get another place until they start chasing me outside of Florida, Georgia, L.A., California, different cities. And now what's happening is when I went into Broward General, I'm getting back to that, sorry about jumping. I went to the Broward General, and what they did, they injected me with a toxin. Nobody believes me. It's very hard to get anybody to listen to what I have to say. And I'm really sick, and now they've taken away all my medications that were protecting me from the environment and stuff. And I'm just out here hanging, somewhat homeless. You know, I've been homeless since 2004, jumping from pillar to post, pillar to post. That's been going on all my life, really. But it's time for something to give here because I'm 63 years old. I'm having internal bleeding. I just left Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the doctors, I was in the hospital for the first time about to get the right diagnosis from a doctor. And then the social worker there had me taken to a mental hospital. That's what they've been doing to me. They want people to think I'm crazy. They're trying to put that crazy mark on me so nobody believe what really happened in that hospital.
Mm.
My story is too long to continue, and I did want to say something about David Ashton. I've been putting out the word about him as well, and there will be people calling to have her on their show, and I hope she do speak on these shows for very important.
Absolutely. You know, that's amazing for us to just get this word out there and also get the word out about you, too, because we know that, you know, people are being targeted by our government. And you know, Maggie may even be a targeted individual. I'm going to talk with her soon and maybe get some ideas on what we need to do or what we can do. We want to put our arms around her to show her that, you know, that we care. And we're going to continue to stand behind her because one thing they say, especially about black folks, they say we run fast, but we don't run long. So we got to show her that we're in this for the long haul, and we're just not going to start this thing and leave her. We're going to continue to be behind her and do the things they need to do. Listen, you got about 60 seconds to say whatever you want. Then I got to bring on my good friend Mary and say whatever your heart desires.
I just want to thank everybody and give Mary a chance because she is the bomb. I just love Mary, too. And,
absolutely.
And just let's all just pray that these things come to an end, because people really need to wake up and smell the tea leaves. Thank you for listening.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, then, you take care of yourself, and we'll be talking soon. All right, now, my good friend Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and I tell you what, you and Mr. Chen, oh, boy, if y'all didn't have me rocking and rolling up in here, I tell you what, those damn firefighters, police officers, COINTELPRO people in Detroit, you tell me that they are only going to get 20% of their pensions. Is that right?
That's right. That's what they're talking about. And some may not get none.
You know,
some of the senior citizens, the people that's on pension, will have to go back to work.
Yes,
I don't know where they're going
to
work.
They need to. Like you said, some of them are not in the program. They were never in the program to victimize targeted individuals, but plenty of them were. And I tell you something else, most of the ones who were not in the program knew about it and did nothing to help. And so they are being victimized today by the same program. It's just a different way of doing it. And I'm very glad about it, and I want other targeted individuals to know that this is what is going to happen to your enemies too. This is what's going to happen to them. When the system gets through with them, they are going to chew them up and regurgitate them. They are doing things to frighten people. They are intimidating people. Some of these police are going around killing people. But in the final analysis, you will reap what you sow. Isn't that what the Bible says, Reverend Victor?
That's it. You said it all.
So
and
now
you,
the system is through with them.
That's right. Your day is coming, whether you like it or not.
Oh, yes.
You know, they don't
know
that. They don't believe that.
They don't know it.
How they say, you have never ever seen a hearse pulling a Cadillac. You've never seen a hearse pulling a bank. You'll never, ever, ever, ever see a hearse, you know, do anything. So you better do the right thing because your day is coming. Those of you who are out there trying to get this these few dollars and twos and fews from the devil himself, your day is coming.
It's
so, all right, go ahead.
Your day is definitely coming, because if it's not coming, God would have to be a liar. And
that's
I tell
right.
you, the Bible says, let God be true and let every man be a liar. Anybody who tells you that God is not going to win in the end is a damn liar, because he is going to win, and he is going to show you that you were on the wrong side the whole while. And then you'll go hollering, Lord, Lord, and he will say to you, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not those things which I say? And what did God tell you to do? He told you to speak for the oppressed and the poor and needy and everyone who is appointed to destruction. The people who came in there to file police reports with you, people who came in there to tell you how they were being dogged out, people who came into your banks to try to work out some kind of foreclosure deal, people who came to you in your doctor's clinics and tried to get help for their problems, you were not concerned about them. And now you are getting your payback in Detroit, and this is going to spread throughout America if you don't stand up with the people and help to bring justice. And how can you stand up with the people and help to bring justice? The Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? You need to agree with Reverend Pinckney. You need to agree with us on this program that it is right to be right. You know, Martin Luther King said, it's always the right time to do the right thing. So it doesn't matter how crooked and evil and dirty you've been in the past, you got something that Satan doesn't have. You got the opportunity to repent. Isn't that so, Reverend?
That is correct, girl. You got the opportunity to repent, so repent. You know, and take care. See, here's what we don't do. We don't take care of each other like we should. We should be reaching out to each other. We should be reaching out to our baby Aston and his mother. We should be doing things, taking up, sending them money, make sure that they're comfortable and things like that. We should be doing things like that. Those of you, I know money is tight, but send what you got. You can send $5. You can send $10. You can send $20. You can even send $1,000 if you got it. But those of you out there, let's get it moving. Let's take care of this family. We need to take care of this family. And Mary, I tell you, you are a perfect example of a true soldier. You work hard. You're right on top of everything. And I really appreciate you.
Well, Reverend, I appreciate you so very much for giving voice to righteousness every Sunday. I appreciate you, and I want you to know, Reverend, that even as I talk to you, they're out there shooting firecrackers and stuff. All of this is intimidation, but they only make me want to reach higher heights for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now, like they've been shooting down black boys all over this country, you know, yesterday they shot down a white boy. Oh, yes, they killed him. They shot him dead. He was an honor student about to graduate in May. And the police officer got mad at him and just pulled out his gun and filled him full of bullets. Because as Malcolm X said years ago, your chickens have come home to roost. You said nothing when they killed Oscar Grant. You said nothing when they killed black people in Detroit. You said nothing when the police secretly arrested and murdered my brother. And now look at how they've been killing Caucasian mentally ill people. Look now that they killed, just flat foot pulled out his gun and emptied it into one of your brightest white citizens. A young man wasn't 23 years old, and they shot him. They killed him because you say nothing. Many of my Caucasian fellow people say nothing about all the murders of blacks, but Malcolm X said years ago that the chickens will come home to roost, and now they started killing your young men like they're nothing. They go into nursing homes and kill Mr. Rana. He was a white gentleman. He was a veteran. He was a decent living man who had gotten old enough that he was in an elderly home. He had a little bit of dementia. They called police about something, and police killed him with the rubber bullets. They shot it right at him, right at his chest, knowing it could cause a heart attack if you shoot somebody with rubber bullets right at their chest. So these people have started now killing Caucasians, and I want you to know it's going to continue because, you see, whereas you might be racially prejudiced and don't care when they kill black people, you don't seem to realize Hitler started out killing the mentally ill of all races. Then he moved into just killing the black and Jews. Yes, there were blacks in Germany that he had in concentration camps, and he murdered them. But then you think Hitler stopped there? No. He went on and wrapped that whole country up in an iron curtain, didn't he, Reverend?
Yes, he did. Absolutely.
Nobody had freedom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you
Nobody.
Said it all.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So
you know, and what he said was
white.
So. Go ahead.
You're right, Reverend. See, these people don't care enough, and they don't call enough, and they don't complain enough as long as we get on the radio or on the television or on our blog and we talk about the black people who were murdered. They don't seem to care enough. And unfortunately, their voices would carry more than ours do when they would complain. But they don't complain enough. So now they killed numerous Caucasians this year, and as far as I know, they killed their first young man who was doing nothing, who was unarmed yesterday. And that was in San Antonio, Texas area. And they shot him. I want to send condolences to his family. He was a 23-year-old honor student who was supposed to graduate in May. And this police officer shot him down like a dog. Because, see, they don't really care more about Caucasians than they do about blacks, do they, Reverend?
They sure don't. They sure don't. Right now, all they care about that 1%. That's all they want to do, protect them. If you're not part of that, You have no say. You have nothing going for you. And that's what it's all about. I tell you, man, it's tremendous when you sit down and think about it. But one of these days, the people are going to become conscious of exactly what's going on. Right now, the people are unconscious,
absolutely,
knocked out. You know,
absolutely,
it's like a heavyweight fight. You're in the middle of the ring, and you knock out your opponent. And that's what they're doing right now. They got them laying right on the mat, knocked out, unconscious, don't know what's going on.
And
don't want to know what's going on. Don't
people.
Even want to get up and finish the fight.
Right. They're tricking a lot of people. They're tricking Caucasians into thinking that this is a black thing. No, it's not. They're tricking these people who carry out their little FBI missions, their little Contempo missions, got them thinking they're in the New World Order. No, you're not. These people don't care about anybody at all who's in the working class. And it's time for working class people to wake up, look at Detroit, and know that if you don't join hands with other Americans of all races and all economic classes, understand that these people have bad plans for the entire world, not just America. And it's time for the working class people of this country to join hands with each other and stand against the spread of Marxism in this country. And I want you to know that you can send donations to Reverend Pinckney. And some of you have donations, especially you who are Caucasians. You could help this man who is talking the truth every week. He is telling the truth. He's bringing other people forward who are able to relay the truth to you. When you listen to his show, you're not listening to a show full of black people complaining. We have Caucasians here to tell you the truth about what's happening to them. We have Latinos here, and we have blacks here. And so you need to know from that this show represents what Americans are going through. And what we are doing to respond is we are uniting in love. We're uniting under God, and we are standing up for what is right. And you need to join in this. You need to stop being a spectator, and you need to send Reverend Pinckney a generous check. You need to do that, because that would be godly. But, you know, whether you do or not, God's will be done. And you can either join in people who are trying to do something positive, or you can sit back and be a spectator and say, it's not me yet, until it gets to be you. But either way, I want you to know that enough people have prayed that prayer throughout the generations. God our Father, thy will be done. That's been prayed by enough people throughout generations. Some of the ones who prayed it meant it and others did not. But I want you to know something right now. God's will be done. And he's going to look after his servants, whether you are a part of it or not. If I were you, I would get on the winning team. I would recognize what's going on. I would realize that it's not a black and white thing. These people are against anybody who doesn't have at least $1 billion. And if you think you got a couple of million and that's enough, I want you to know that a couple of million is nothing compared to what these people have. These people who want to rule the world want you as their slave, and they will have you if you continue to let this problem go on. So let's join together and let's do something about it. Reverend Pinckney, please give your address so that individuals, whether they're black, white, Native American, Asian, whoever realizes that we need to unite and we need to unite our voices and speak to this power source with the voice of the people and say we are a people. Not just, you know, God calls a people who are not a people. You read that verse, haven't you, Reverend?
Absolutely. Listen,
you know, God calls a people who are not a people. And we need
right.
to join together. Give your address so they can know where to send a donation to fight against government corruption and terrorism so that more handsome young white men, like the young man, 23 years old, a valedictorian of his high school, a A student in college about to graduate in May, and guess what? The police did him the same way they did Oscar Grant. They did him the same way they did any black young man. They emptied their guns at him. So that's what they think about you, too. So
Let me get my address. All right, Mary. Listen, you can send it a check, money order, whatever. Go to PayPal. Go to bhbanko.org. You can send a. You can use your credit card, or you can send a check to Banco, BANCO, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. And on that note, Mary, I really appreciate you. And I got to bring on my good friend, Roz. Thank you so much for just being Mary. God bless you. God keep you. And keep up the great work you're doing. All right. Now, my good friend, Roz. Roz, are you there? Rozzy, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
How you doing today, Roz?
Well, the whole world got quiet when the Buckeyes lost, but I'd like to thank the coach for a great 2 years and the team. He brought great joy to everybody, and they're playing.
It was a great run.
It was a great run, and I don't want to hear any negativity. It was fabulous, and we all enjoyed it.
I know, because Michigan State, it was quite a game. Where did you play that?
They got their defense together. They really went out to win, and they did.
Yeah.
Can't deny them.
Absolutely. You see, I had David Grace on, and he was doing just a tremendous job. Even when I was out there in L.A., him and myself, we confronted Fletcher in reference to the teachers out there. And I tell you, we really lit a fire underneath them. But unfortunately, it's not enough teachers. But I know that you know David Garcia, don't you?
Right, I'm friends with David. He called for your number. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a really great guy, and you know, and you and him fighting together should be quite a team.
Right, and he's great, and he was wonderful today. And UTLA board is in bed with LAUSD. It's just disgusting. The taxpayers' money is paying for this, so the taxpayers ought to wake up. It's an alert already. LAUSD, under Don Watkins' Office of Risk Management, purposely goes after teachers to kill them off.
Mm-hmm.
When you deny medical benefits and you don't pay teachers, their health deteriorates and they lose everything. And when you're purposely paying for bogus medical reports, you're not paying what is due within the 30 to 45 day turnaround time, and you take 4 years and 2 years, and when you write the checks and play with the numbers and you play with the sheets of payment, you don't pay them the thousands of dollars that's due them. I believe that Don Watkins, Director of Risk Management, is the queen of delays, denials, and death. Because LAUSD is given a certain amount of money that is to be put aside for teachers' injuries. And LAUSD can at any time do the right thing. But LAUSD doesn't do the right thing for anything. And the fact that it is an educational institution, not a mob mentality, and they're going after teachers to kill them, just like Charles Smith died. Charles did not get the proper doctors, did not get paid at all. Dorothy worried about losing her house. They could have done the right thing. They have enough money. My house is going into foreclosure. I'm going to lose it unless it sells. I can't pay my bills. As you can hear me, my health is deteriorating. And I'm still speaking up. I find this unconscionable behavior. We are in America. We must unite no matter what color we are. We must come together and help each other. I'm appalled and what they're doing to this baby. I just feel sick when I hear about it. This doctor should never touch another living person. They should lose their license. They should be jailed criminally. The police force, they don't have to be out there shooting people anymore. They could give them something else, just shooting too many bullets. I don't get it. They're killing in South Central these adorable children, Latino, black. Is the big population down there just terrible? 3 years old, 4 years old, the teenagers that are being killed by gang warfare, and innocent people all the time. This must stop. We must unite together to save ourselves, because we're not going to have.
You know, Roz, we can do this. You know, learn to work together, because it, to me, it's so valuable. That people understand L.A. is a tremendous city, a big city, and we just should be doing more.
Right, we should be doing more. And all the people that have known what's happened to me, I don't hear people calling me to say, can we help you? What can we do to stand up for you? What can we do to change this? When I said to people lately, your tax money is paying to kill me off, they're getting it. They're money is paying to kill me off. The board should be recalled. We have Margarita Lamont just died. She was 80
she
years
died.
Old. Yes. From
wow.
the board of
I thought she was just retiring.
No, she just got elected. I think she had a couple years left. She's the only one that voted for DZ's contract.
When I was there, I went to her office. Matter of fact, she got me the tape of the speech I made at the school board meeting.
Right,
and she died.
Yeah, she just died. It's just
shocking. And I was so impressed with her that day. I don't know what she'd been doing, but that day she definitely opened my eyes. And that she was one board member that was willing to take a stand. But, that was about almost 3 years ago. I don't know what she's doing now. But I didn't know that. I thought she would just return.
Right.
I got an email, and it said that she was trying to groom somebody to take her place or something.
Oh, I don't know who they'll pick, but we don't want these big corporations to pick somebody. We all need to stand up. I called Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson's office, and I sent out an email to him. I sent emails to you, to everybody that maybe we know people that could really stand up. We don't have the money. We have a terrible turnout rate for voting, but we need to put the right people in office. All over the country. This is just one thing going on here. There are millions of stories across the country.
Right, and yes, people just don't want to do nothing.
Right,
You can sit here, you can say all you want. You get a handful of people to stand up. They know that sooner or later they're going to beat them down, and they know that. And they know you don't have the resources to fight. You got to eat. It takes 24 hours to eat.
Right, and they don't vote, and David was on there, and we have, California has a Democratic state. It doesn't work. The economy is terrible. People are leaving. Every time a Democrat goes up to Sacramento, we get another tax. Even if you vote for Republicans, maybe we would get people fighting a little bit and knowing that the voters are voting for people in and out.
Interesting. I'm hoping that they don't that your house don't be sold. Cause when I come to L.A., I'm planning on coming up there and staying with you. But do they let black people up in that neighborhood? Cause that's a pretty decent neighborhood.
We have black people that live in the neighborhood.
I don't know. Just looking at your neighborhood, I see that neighborhood. There's a million-dollar homes up there. I would love to go come spend a couple of days with Robert. I don't know where they let black people up there.
Well, if I give you a pass, you can come.
Yeah, you sign a pass that let him through. That'll work, Rob. Hey, I love it, Rob. Listen,
I grew up, and I'm so grateful, which I've said here before. I'm colorblind, and I would miss out on you and Mary, Ralph, and Dr. Short, and my life would not be complete.
Absolutely.
And here
I know
we,
that, Roz. I just threw that in because of the community you live in. You know, I know it good. But I know that you're all good. I know that for a fact. And I got a chance to meet you when I was in L.A., and I tell you, it was beautiful. But listen, you got about 30 seconds. I want Dr. Short to end this thing because he got to say a few words, and that'll do. But go right ahead. You got 30 seconds. Say what you want to do, and I got to bring on Dr. Short.
Okay, it's time that we got the guts and we started voting the right way. Judge Gerald Cohn should be out. Dr. John Stahlberg should be out. Don Watkins, the whole LAUSD school board, Dr. Daisy, they should all be recalled. Get rid of Common Core. LAUSD, I will say it, they are purposely killing off injured teachers. It is documented. There is a documented pattern of abuse, violence, and death. My email address is rozywow, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W, at AOL.com. Rozywow at AOL.com.
All right, Rozzy, we love you. Keep up the good fight. And I got to move on to Dr. Short to close it out. And I will talk to you very, very soon. And remember, boycott. That's the message. We got to keep our dollars in our pocket. That's the only thing they understand. Boycott. Dr. Short, close us out right fast.
Well, Reverend Pinckney, I just want to remind you and everyone that we have another friend. She wasn't able to make the dunning. They're also targeting people to steal their children.
Absolutely.
Take children from families. They're stealing organs. We really need to follow up on the names and the information when we hear the programs. Go through the archives. If you miss a program, Dorothy Dunning, Maggie Rhodes, Mary with her brother. There are so many people doing things. We need to join forces. And so I also just encourage people to be in touch with each other during the week, not just this show. It's just not the time to try to touch everyone. And so we need to be in touch. We need to pull closer together, get to know each other. It's very important that we build the kind of trust and community of resistance so we can get this work done.
Very, very good. And those of you who I did not get to today, we had a tremendous ball fieldment today. And I do apologize, but, you know, we had to get Baby Aspen on and people like that and other people. But I promise you next week, if somehow I miss you, you call me, I will give you the first shot. Whoever calls me first will get the first shot to be on first at 5 o'clock. God bless everybody. God keep you. And I want people to know, keep your money in your pocket. And those of you who don't think that they're coming for you next, you know, you keep on living because they're coming. Whether you're a target individual, whether you live in Detroit, whether you live in Chicago, whether you live in Benton Harbor, whether you live in California, regardless where you live, this government is coming for you. On that note, I'm going to say goodnight to all. Let's listen to a little Wake Up, Everybody.
No more back-thinking, time for thinking ahead. World's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war, and poverty. Make the old people well. They're the ones. Yeah.